Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor Bass, and praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be in Ocala, Florida tonight. Or as the elder J.T. Bass says, Ocaller. I'm glad to be here today. Glad that my wife's with me. And I'm looking forward to the remainder of these services after tonight. I told my wife in the motel room, I said, after tonight, I'm going to have a good time and enjoy myself. And I'm going to listen to what my fellow preachers have to say. I need to be preached to in this hour. I said, we need to be preached to in this hour. Amen. We do appreciate everything, the accommodations and the gift box, and everything is just A1. Brother and Sister Bass, everything is just top-notch. It's good to see my friend, my old friend, Elder J.T. Bass tonight. And I've already gotten in touch with him. I'm going to try to see if we can get him back to Indianapolis sometime this year. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Looking forward to my fellow ministers preaching the gospel in this service, these services. Brother Davis, known him for a little while, and Brother Frazier, I guess he must be on his way, and my first time meet Brother Hyler, of course, Brother Dudley, and did I miss one? I think I got everybody. I'm looking forward to hearing them. Amen. But tonight, I want the Holy Ghost to move in this place. Amen. Very new pastor, but and I told my wife, I said, you know, really, in all honesty, I probably feel like I'm an evangelist at heart, but I want to see the Holy Ghost have its way in this place tonight. There's no reason to get dressed up and look our best and come in and not see the Holy Ghost do something. Amen. We took our time to get ready and get here tonight. I feel like we need to take a little time and let the Holy Ghost have its way. Hallelujah. Could you lift your hands tonight and worship the Lord today? Hallelujah. We love you today, Lord. We love you today, Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray, God, that you would move upon us today, Jesus. Pray, God, that you would help us today, Jesus. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're probably all looking at me and wondering who I am. Well, I'm looking at you. I'm wondering who some of you are too. So if we could get that all out of the way and have church tonight, that's what we're here for. Amen. Of course, we've been a longtime friend of the whole Bass family. And Brother Elder Wade Bass has preached for us many times. And we've been out to supper together. And we've just had a good time of fellowship. I appreciate his friendship today. Amen. I'm going tonight. I'm not going to be long in preliminaries tonight. I want to go to the Word of the Lord, and let's just see what the Holy Ghost has for us here tonight. Right. Book of Matthew, chapter 16, and I wish I could have preached this about two or three nights ago when I felt the real unction, I guess, of the Holy Ghost move on me. But I'm going to try my best tonight to give you what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart for this service. Brother Bass asked me a few months ago, and so I've had a long time to get nervous. And then I got so busy, I kind of forgot about it until the first part of January, and then I started getting nervous again. Matthew chapter 18, and begin reading tonight with verse number 13. The Bible said, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Verse 18 again, and I say unto thee, also unto thee, that thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We lift our voices one more time and ask the Lord to come down, talk to us today. Jesus, we need you right now. Mighty God, we need to hear from your word tonight. Mighty God, I pray, Lord, that you would help us today. I pray, God, that you would move upon us today. Mighty God, we're dependent upon you tonight, Lord, to help us to move into the remainder of this service tonight. God, I give you praise and I give you glory that is due your great name. I love you today, Lord. Send your anointing power tonight. Help us, God, to open our hearts and our minds to your word today. We give you the praise and we give you the glory that's due your name in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And everyone said amen. Amen. You may be seated. I also am glad for the good report tonight. Ever since I've heard that the elder was diagnosed with cancer, I've been bringing his name before the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful today that the Lord is a God that hears and answers prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. One of these days we're going to need some prayer. And I'm glad that the Lord knows how to hear and he knows how to touch. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight for a little while on just a little simple thought, and maybe it doesn't necessarily go along with my scripture reading tonight, but I want to talk to us with just a question, and that is, how do you see the church now? How do you see the church now? We need a church. Not necessarily a local building, but we need a church. Jesus said that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It doesn't mean that hell's not going to try, but it just means that hell, when it comes against the church, is going to be defeated. Amen. My mind went back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. And there was two people in this book, and they were called Adam and Eve. We know them as the first people that God put upon the earth. And God, God knew, I feel like that he knew that they were not going to obey, but God gave them a choice of whether they wanted to obey his word or not. And tonight, we all have a choice of whether we want to obey or not to obey. I'm glad that I've made a choice. I want to obey. And so they disobeyed God, and they went and ate of the tree that God told them not to eat of. Of course, we've heard this ever since we've been just people and children in nursery school. We know about Adam and Eve. But they did disobey what God told them to do. And God gave them, or took them out of the garden, but he did not leave them without a remedy. God told them, he said, and I will put enmities, talking to the adversary, and he's talking to Adam and Eve. He said, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Even from the very beginning of time, these first two men, this man and woman that God had placed in their garden home, was getting ready to eradicate them from that place.
But he told them, it's not always going to be this way. I'm going to give a remedy. There is going to be a way out. There is going to be a way of escape, if you please, from the life that you have plunged mankind into. Amen. He said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed. And so it is tonight that there is war going on between the forces of evil and the forces of good. Well, hallelujah. I said there is a war going on tonight between the forces of evil and the forces of good. The forces of God and the forces of the adversary. Can I tell you that it seems like tonight that the forces of evil are going to win. But I can tell you that it's not over yet. This war is not over yet. This battle is not over yet. There is yet to be declared a victor. Oh, hallelujah. I'm feeling a little less nervous right now. Hallelujah. And so we read of another man in the book of Genesis, a man by the name of Abram. Abram was a man that was called of God, and he was also called the friend of God. If anything tonight, I want the Lord to be able to call me his friend. But the Bible said that God began to speak with this man. God began to deal with him. God called him out of the land of his nativity and the land of his upbringing. God wanted to get him away from his idol worshiping family and friends. God called him and told him, he said, look, I want you to walk across the land. I'm going to lead you and I'm going to guide you. And I want you to walk through the land, and everywhere that you walk and every place that you place your foot, I'm going to give it to you and to your posterity after you. The Bible said that God talked with him for some time, and various times God manifested himself and talked with this man by the name of Abram. But all of a sudden God came to him and he said, Abram, your name's not going to be called Abram anymore. I'm going to change your name and we're going to start calling you Abraham. Because you're going to be the father of a great nation. How many children you got, Abram? Don't have any. But God promised that I'm going to be the father of a great nation. And if God has promised me this, I just believe that God is going to bring it to pass. Well, hallelujah. Amen. I just want to stop long enough and tell somebody that if God has given you a promise, you need to hold on to it with everything that is within you, because I serve a God that is able to bring his promises to pass. Well, hallelujah. I said, I serve a God that is able to bring his promises to pass. If God promised the elder healing, I believe God can bring it to pass. I believe he is bringing it to pass. And so God promised him, you're going to have a child. And they began to wonder about this. They were perplexed about this. They were older. They could not have any children. But can I tell you, when God steps on the scene, odds go out the window. Well, come on. I said, when God comes on the scene, then the odds go out the window. There are no odds when God comes on the scene. Well, I said, there are no odds when God comes on the scene. When God steps on the scene, cancer can be eradicated. When God steps on the scene, I'm telling you, sickness can be eradicated. When God steps on the scene, I can tell you that victory can be imminent when the Lord steps into the situation. Well, hallelujah. And so, as time would have it, Some time went by, and still Abraham had no children. But God told him, you're going to have a child. And sure enough, just exactly the way God told him and the way God promised, it came to pass, and Isaac was born. And we find that Isaac begins to grow, and I, as children do. And so we find that God again calls to Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I want you to take this son, Isaac. And I want you to take him to the place that I will show you. And I want you to offer him as a sacrifice unto me. And we find that Abram gets up and he gets that son and he moves out and he begins to follow the leading of God. Oh, in this hour, if we could get somebody that would be able and willing to follow the leadings of God. Oh, Lord, where you take me, I will follow. Lord, will you lead me? That's where I want to go. Oh, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I want to do. Whatever you want me to say, that's what I want you. I want to say, Lord, if you want me to stand up in a dead, dry service and give you some praise, I'm not going to be intimidated, but I'm going to stand to my feet and I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to give you praise and worship. And so it was that they began to move out. They began to make their journey. Abraham and his son and their servants. And they make their way to the land that God tells them of. And the Bible said when Abraham saw it afar off, he knew it. Because there was something about that place. I don't know whether the glory of God come down upon it. I have no idea. But Abraham just knew that is the place right there. And he said, servants, you stay here. I and the lad are going to go yonder. And we are going to worship. And we shall return. God had already told him, you're going to have to offer that son. But he said, we're going to go and worship, but we shall return. I'm telling you, Abraham was a man of faith. And so they made their way up the mountainside. And this son of his, being a good church-going boy, I guess you could say, he looks at his father and he said, now, father, here is the fire and here is the wood. But where is the sacrifice? And all of a sudden it seemed like the Spirit of the Lord moved upon Abraham. And he said, my son, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. Well, I said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. It was none other than the land of what they call Moriah. And so my mind, I hope you'll just bear with me here tonight. I didn't ask to do this. The Elder Bass asked me to do this here tonight. And so the only way I can do it is do it in my own little way. But I'm praying that the Holy Ghost will move on my little way and talk to our heart here tonight. Hallelujah. And so we find that there, as time went by, it seems like Mount Moriah or the land of Moriah has been forgotten about. Until a man by the name of King David, all of a sudden he makes a mistake. And all of a sudden God is displeased with him. And David, he tells David, he said, David, you got three choices. There's going to have something happen here. And David said, I'm just going to fall on the mercy of God. But when the plague was stayed, the Bible said that David went to a place called Ornan's threshing floor. And there he began to offer sacrifices. I like what David had to say. Ornan said, David, I'll just give it to you. But David said, no, I don't want you to give it to me. I'm going to pay full price for it. Because I'm not going to offer anything to the Lord that doesn't cost me something. I'm telling you, it costs something tonight to give God your praise. It costs something tonight to give God the glory that is due his great and holy name. Oh, hallelujah. But we find David buying this threshing floor. And we find him offering sacrifices to God. And it seemed like the time goes by. And this threshing floor is just a thing in the memory. Until David begins to have a son by the name of Solomon. And the Bible said that Solomon began to grow up. And David said, "Oh God, I want to build a temple to you. God, I want to build an edifice for you. God, I would love to build a place where your name could be." But God said, "David, you can't do it because you are a man of war and you have shed blood. But I'm going to raise up a young man by the name of Solomon, and he is going to build me a temple and build me a house." We find that Solomon begins to build on that place called Moriah, and he begins to build that temple, such a magnificent structure that our eyes could not even fathom, our pocketbooks could not even fathom. We have our great buildings here in this life that we live, but I don't believe that it is anything compared to the temple that Solomon built for his God. Oh, there was jewels everywhere. There was gold everywhere. There was engravings everywhere. But David told Solomon, he said, "Solomon, when you build this house for our God, it can't be some tent somewhere. It can't be a shack somewhere. It's got to be magnificent. It's got to be exceeding magnificent." Hey, I'm telling you, when we begin to come in together and we begin to worship and magnify God and begin to praise His holy name, there is something that happens. It's not just another service. It's not just another score meeting. But when the presence of God begins to move, we want to see it move in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I begin to look at this. I begin to look at this temple and where exactly it's situated. And so, at home in the hallway, we got a little picture of Jerusalem. And there it is. It's laid out in kind of a panoramic view. And when you look, the wall of Jerusalem, the old wall, goes around. And right there in the center, where a place now is called the Dome of the Rock. If you ever see it, it's a gold dome that sits on top of that Temple Mount. It is owned by the Muslim countries. But oh, I'm telling you, there is a place in the heart of those Israelis. They want to have that Temple Mount back again. Oh, and Solomon began to build that temple. I believe he put it in a strategic place. It was going to be centrally located. It was going to be a place where if somebody got in trouble, that they could look toward that place. All they had to do was step out their door and look around, and there it was, sitting on the hill. Hey, Solomon began to pray his dedicatory prayer, and he said, "Oh God, if your people somehow fall into bondage and they go into a foreign land, oh God, if they could just remember this place. God, if they could just remember this temple. If they could somehow get their face fixed back toward this temple. Oh God, would you hear from heaven? Oh God, would you heal their land? Oh God, would you deal with them and help them in their situation?" Hallelujah. And there it was, standing upon the hill. And it was exceeding magnificent. And Solomon in all his glory. It didn't matter that he was a king. It did not matter that he sat on a throne. But oh, when it came time to go into the house of the Lord, he didn't go up there with just a haphazard experience or a haphazard attitude. But oh, there was some glory that went on. There was something going on when Solomon began to make his way from his house up to the temple. Hey, the Queen of Sheba said, hey, I can't even understand it. I don't even understand what's going on. I can tell you tonight that some folks don't understand what's going on in here. But I'm going to tell you that when we come in this place, that we're coming in here to meet the presence of Almighty God. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Oh, and there he goes up to the temple. We know as time went by that Solomon had his heart turned away from the great God of heaven. We know that he backslid from where he should have been. And because of that, the temple became in ruin. There was men came in and they tore it down. They ransacked it. They tore all the gold out. They took all the furnishings out. They took all the treasures out of the house of the Lord. I'm telling you, Solomon knew what he was doing. Because you look at that tabernacle in the wilderness, every piece of furniture was in the temple that Solomon built. But it was on a grander scale. It was bigger. The brazen altar that was out in the front was bigger than it was in the tabernacle. That laver of water was bigger than it was in the tabernacle. Those lampstands, there were more of them than there were in the tabernacle. Oh, but can I tell you, when it came time to bring the presence of the Lord in that temple, he went back and got the same Ark of the Covenant, because you can't improve upon the presence of God. Hallelujah. I said you can't improve upon the presence of God. You can repent more. You can see the light more. But you can't improve on the presence of Almighty God. My Bible tells me that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We find that these men came in and they began to conquer and they began to take away. They began to ransack the temple of God. You read it in your Bible how that Belshazzar went and got the golden goblets and the golden furnishings that were in the house of God and began to have a drunken party with them. Oh, can I just stop right here and say something? We got more than the charismatics got. Well, I said we got more than what the charismatic world's got. We got more than what the Trinitarians got. We used to sing a little song that said, the world didn't give it to me, and the world sure can't take it away. Hallelujah. And so they came in and they conquered. They took it away. Nebuchadnezzar came in and he burnt the temple and left it in ruins. Left the city in ruins. But thank God there was a man by the name of Nehemiah that came back and said, I think we can build these walls again. In the midst of fear and doubt and unbelief and all kinds of opposition. But he looked around and said, I believe these walls can go up again. Thank God for a man by the name of Ezra and Zerubbabel that come back and said, we can build the temple again. The Bible said they began to build it. And the day that they laid the foundation, there were some old men crying. And there were some young men that were dancing and shouting and having a good time. But oh, they were working on the house of the Lord. They were working on God's house. They were working on God's temple. But something happened. They got to working. Things were going along pretty good. And all of a sudden, they decided to stop work. What happened? They got tired in what they were doing. Maybe they got frustrated in what they were doing. But oh, God always has a man that comes upon the scene and he begins to read and say, thus saith the word of the Lord. There was such a man that during the time there was no work going on by the name of Haggai that came upon the scene and he said, hey, how long are you going to sit in your sealed houses? How long are you going to take your ease while the house of God lies in ruins? It's time to get up. It's time to start working. It's time to start doing something. Well, hallelujah. I said it's time that somebody decides to do some work. It's time to get off our lazy bones, if you please. And it's time to go to work. You've got your houses built, but there's a central location. We need God's presence back in our midst. We need the house of God to be erected again in our midst. We can do nothing until we build the house of God over again. Still with me? That's my introduction. And so the man of God comes on the scene and he says, who is left among you that saw the glory or saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? The temple's been torn down. And we're sitting around at ease. And thinking everything's going to be all right. But I came up on the scene to tell you we've got to build again. How do you see the house of God now? What are you looking at? What are you seeing? And then Jesus looks at Peter and he said, and his disciples, and he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, oh, some of them say you're Elias and Jonas and one of the prophets. But he said, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hey, can I tell you, I already said it tonight, but we know more than what most, and in fact, all of the denominational world knows. I come to preach tonight. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to preach. We know more than the Pope of Rome. Because we know who Jesus is. I said, we know who Jesus is. Oh, you know what? It ought to drive us to our feet to know that out of the whole world that God has entrusted us with one of the greatest revelations that mankind has ever known and ever seen. Thank God I know who Jesus is. It's more than just a story. He is the King of Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you are the only one in your family that knows who Jesus is. There ought to be a thankfulness down in your heart. There ought to be a spontaneous combustion down in your soul that says, thank God I know who Jesus is. He's more than just the second person in the Trinity. But he is that one that the prophet said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. He didn't probably even know what he was writing, but Matthew picked it up and he said, yes, his name's going to be Emmanuel, but being interpreted, it's God with us. Well, I could jump off on one God right now. Well, I said I could jump off on one God right now. Hallelujah. I'm glad I know who left his throne in glory. And he came down and was born and walked upon this earth for 33 and a half years. I'm glad that I know who I'm serving today. But I want to know something. How do you see the church now? Has it become such an old thing that the mentioning of one God does not bring anything to our soul? Has it become such an old thing that repentance doesn't bring any joy to our soul? has it become such an old thing that seeing somebody baptized in Jesus' name doesn't bring an excitement down in our soul? I want to know tonight, how do you see it?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I had to run a little errand today. And I drove around a little bit. I looked at this town. It's a pretty good sized town. Got a little bit of everything. But as I was looking, and I've been noticing at home, everywhere I look, it's people. Everywhere you look, it's people. People coming and going and doing their business. And it just people, people, people. Seems like there's more people now than there were when I was a kid. Yeah, that I just notice it more. But there's a lot of things in this town. A little bit of everything. I noticed some not so nice places. I've noticed some places in the world. But I failed to notice in my driving around today another apostolic church. So what I'm trying to say is this, that right here, sitting on this avenue, is a lighthouse to this community. This man right here is a lighthouse keeper for this community. And there ought to be something about it when midweek service rolls around. Has it become so old that we say, well, it's time to go to church again? Well, I'm sorry. I don't have any conference message tonight. The only thing I can do is what the Lord gives me. And this is what He put on me. But there ought to be something about it when midweek service rolls around. It doesn't matter whether it's Bible study or revival or prayer meeting. Man, when my tires hit that pavement, well, there ought to be something down inside that said, Lord, I'm in need. Lord, I need something out of this service tonight. God, I don't want this service to just be ho-hum. Because I'm telling you, you can make it ho-hum if you want to. But you only get out of it what you put in. I came tonight to put in everything I've got to give God glory and give Him praise. Oh, come on, let's lift our hands and worship Him right now. Hallelujah. 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 Right now, this week, I talked to Elder Bass a couple weeks ago. He said, I'm not worried about you. He said, you're going to set the stage for this whole meeting. I said, oh, help me, Jesus. But I, through the Holy Ghost, I believe that the Holy Ghost has talked to me. And I believe that the Holy Ghost wants to do something in Life Tabernacle. There's no need for us to leave another score meeting and say, well, it was just church as usual. There's no reason for us to walk out these doors tonight and say, well, it was just church as usual. No, every time we walk through these doors, I believe the Holy Ghost has got something on the agenda for somebody. But it's up to us through the Holy Ghost and through the Spirit to find it. I'm praying, oh God, help me to find it tonight. Hey, we're living in a dark world out there. We're living in an evil world out there. Men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. But thank God there's a lighthouse. Thank God there's a church. Thank God there's some people that love the Lord. Thank God that we're two or three are gathered together. God said, that's my address. That's where I live. God help us if some of us could get together and bind together and say, oh devil, I want to tell you, you may have come to try to thwart this meeting, but we come to drive you back. We come to put a dagger in your spirit, oh enemy. Or are we going to have church as usual? Now, I didn't plan all this. Holy Ghost is moving on me right now. But there's no sense to have church as usual. Hey, some of you young people, you ought to be the ones to energize the service. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm preaching to you. Come on, I'm trying to tell you. How do you see your church now? You can sit around and look at it and say, well, it's a bunch of rules and regulations. All right. Or you can say, hey, it's all those rules and regulations that keep the world from coming in the door. Well, hallelujah. Come on, I'm trying to stir somebody up tonight. Come on, I'm trying to get a hold of your faith tonight. Come on, I'm trying to tell you, we can have church around here. Oh, come on, I say we can have church around here. We can have church as usual, or we can have real church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it all depends on how you see it. My father-in-law's got a little saying. And he says it all the time. He says, I get to go to church. I get to go to work. It's not I have to. I get to. That's the way I feel tonight. I get to go to church. It's a privilege to go to church. It's a privilege to lift my hands. It's a privilege to let tears flow down my cheeks. It's a privilege to bow my knee at an altar. It's a privilege to jump. It's a privilege to run. It's a privilege to serve my God. You see, there's folks, and this is what I've told our church at home. If you don't want to praise Him, there's somebody down at the mall. There's somebody driving up and down this street. There's somebody somewhere that would gladly take your place. There's somebody that's on drugs. There's somebody that's steeped in sin that would gladly fall at this altar and say, Lord, forgive me. But I don't intend to let anybody take my place. Yeah, I said, I don't intend to let anybody take my place. I said, I don't intend to let somebody take my place. You see, do you remember how it was when you first received the Holy Ghost? I've watched them. Yeah, I'm old enough. I've watched a lot of people. And you see it come in and man, it's just they're just riding things. How many times do we do it? We do it and don't even realize it. Well, just give them till their first big trial. And then we'll see what happens. It's like a child with a new toy. Have you ever seen a child with a new toy? Man, he wants to play with it and play with it. He don't want anybody else touching it. He don't want anybody else toying with it or tinkering with it. He don't want to share it. It's not too long and that newness wears off. He throws it over in the corner. Now he's ready for something else. But can I tell you, oh God,
Don't ever let this joy of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, don't ever let the joy of the Holy Ghost become like some kind of toy that I just throw it off to the side. But let it come to me every day. Let it renew me every day. Lord, let the joy of the Holy Ghost be renewed in my soul. Come on, we got some folks in here tonight. We need to let the joy of the Holy Ghost be renewed in your soul. Come on, you need to find. I know we've been in here a while. That's the problem. We've been in here so long, we know how it goes. We can sing certain songs and we know if the beat gets just right. If the song gets just right. But what about those times when we used to have an old elderly sister? And I mean, she'd get up and she'd sing a little old song. I cannot fail the Lord. But it wasn't too long. You could feel something began to come down. We used to have an old brother that sat on the front row at our old church. Brother, it come time for testimony service. He was up on his feet, big, tall, thin fella. I'm telling you, he'd sing 4, 5, 6, 7 songs while he's testifying. Oh, we can't have that now because we got to be out by a certain time. But he'd sing, and it wasn't too long. If he missed it on the first one, he'd pick up another. And if he missed it on that one, he'd pick up another one. Until I think sometimes we start singing in self-defense. But oh, what happened to those old timers that knew how to have church? Come on, we need some young folks that learn how to have church. That this is not a painting place. This is not a parade to see what you have on tonight. But this is where we meet the presence of Almighty God. Can I tell you, if you're too afraid to dance in what you have on tonight, you're too proud. If you're too afraid to roll on this carpet tonight, you're too proud. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I'm too afraid to get my suit a little messed up, it's already messed up on the airplane. It was a little wrinkled when I got here. But I'm not afraid tonight. Some of us were too afraid to find ourselves in the presence of God because we're afraid of what God's going to dig up. But we need to throw it away and say, hey, more than anything, I have got to have the presence of Almighty God flowing through my soul. Oh God, I don't want you to find somebody else. Lord, if you use anything, use me. God, if you deal with anybody tonight, deal with me. Lord, if anybody breaks through, let it be me. Oh, I feel the convicting spirit of the Holy Ghost here right now. Yeah. Come on, somebody pray with me right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost wants to do something for somebody right now. Come on, I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Come on, you're too worried about coming clean before God. I want to know tonight, how do you see your church now? There's somebody that would gladly trade places with you. I said, Lord, let the Holy Ghost flow. Oh, I'm asking the Holy Ghost to move through this auditorium right now. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost power moving in this place right now. Oh, come on, this is a place that is centrally located. You can have your problems taken care of tonight. Come on, you can see a healing tonight.
You can see your situation turned around tonight. But you can't sitting on a pew. You're going to have to get up out of your seat and say, "Preacher, I want the Holy Ghost flowing through my soul. Preacher, I want the power of God moving in my soul." Oh, Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, I'm waiting on somebody right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is wanting you to get up out of your seat and make your way to the front of this room because He wants to do something for you right now. Come on, I'm calling you under the unction and authority of the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you to get up out of your seat. I'm asking you to make your way down this aisle. Say, "Lord, restore to me the joy. Restore to me the joy. Restore to me the joy of the Holy Ghost." Come on. Come on, I got one. Come on, where are you, friend? Come on, this is the house of God. This is the place we meet the Almighty. This is the place where the Holy Ghost is wanting to move. Come on, there's two. Oh. Ikalabo satataya labo kataya labo sataya. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, could somebody, could you lift your hands? Could you cry out to the Lord? Could you say, "Lord, restore to me your joy"? Come on. Come on. This is not a whipping post. This is not a whipping post. This is a place where the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. This is none other than the house of God. Come on. Can we gather in tonight? Come on. Can we gather in tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our voices tonight. Come on, let's lift our hands tonight. Come on, let's ask God to restore us in the Holy Ghost. Restore us in the Holy Ghost. To God.